The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
NBA draft is tonight, but Fred and A.J. wanted the day off. P. Crate with you on a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Well, you'll notice I'm probably a lot louder than both Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman. Batch Graham with you here. On The Blitz, is Fred still playing cards?
No. He's off in Regina enjoying the rest of his vacation.
Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada.
Yeah, that.
Yes. He's already made his cash. AJ's just chilling. AJ's day drinking somewhere.
AJ's doing Little League Baseball.
Oh, he's day drinking somewhere.
Probably now.
All right, well, on the other side of the glass, the master controls, and you can get us on the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. On the text line as well, at P. Creighton1 on Twitter, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975, at ESPN975. Are there any more ats? Have I missed any ats?
No, I think you got them all.
All right. Now, I've been hearing for the last couple of weeks, because, you know, AJ's been off some days, Fred's been off some days. We've had a lot of different people here on the Blitz the last couple of weeks. People tell me blitzers are like the toughest audience on this station. And see, I don't look at it as toughest audience. I look at it as maybe most passionate audience, maybe most interested audience. You know, they want it. They don't want to hear any of the fluff and the nonsense. They want you to give it to them, unless we're deliberately doing stuff and nonsense, in which case they want to participate. So in honor of that, because it's my first time hosting the Blitz solo, essentially my first time hosting the Blitz, lines are open, so whatever you want to hit today, 713-780-3776. Don't worry. Aaron will try to keep me in line when I get off the rails and whatnot. But our first order of business is trying to get the Rockets back on the rails. Because despite all of their great efforts, and believe me, they are making great efforts, the constant radio interviews and statements and interviews that they're giving, to try to make it look like, you know, everybody's a happy couple with the Rockets, they're trying really hard. And when you're trying that hard, it's because you're trying to cover it up. You know, this is like the celebrity couple. You know, one of them is cheating all over the place, or you've got the young celebrity woman who is being rumored to have drug issues and alcohol issues, and she might have to go to rehab. I'm fine. Look at me in the club. I'm happy. I'm perfectly happy. I'm happy. Look at me! Yeah, that's kind of what the Rockets are doing right now. They are trying their hardest. But for all the words that come out of the mouth and all the platitudes and all the niceties, at the end of the day, their actions still define what they're doing. And while people might look around and like, oh, Vince Goodwill, who the hell is this guy? I never even heard of that guy. What he says doesn't matter. It's nice that you know, don't want to take the word of a reporter from Yahoo Sports. How do you feel about taking words from reporters from ESPN? Because Tim McMahon is basically reporting all the same stuff. Or how do we feel about taking the word of Shams Charania from The Athletic, who basically, you know, woe Shams, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other, the two most plugged in guys when it comes to the NBA. And here's Shams telling us the Rockets are shopping CP3 to anybody who's got the cap room to talk deal, which is about six or seven teams. Not a lot. Six or seven teams have the ability to absorb that kind of a deal. And to give you an idea of how bad it is, my dumbass Knicks, all right, the team that you could say makes the worst decisions when it comes to management, when it comes to coaching, when it comes to roster decisions, when it comes to contracts, the Knicks have been the worst for over 16 years. We could pretty much just say the entire millennium. Even the Knicks, don't want that contract. Shams reported they're shopping him to anyone who'll listen. They're begging. In fact, they were saying they don't even need anything in return. Here, just take him. And nobody wants that contract. So, of course, the Rockets have to say, oh, Chris never asked for a trade. And Chris has to say, nah, I never asked for a trade. You know why? There's no trade market. Who'd have thought a year after 34-year-old Carmelo Anthony had no trade market, 34-year-old Chris Paul would have no trade market? And that is where we find ourselves with Chris Paul. Not that he's a bad player. He's still a very good player. Doesn't play enough, but he's still a very good player. He's still a productive player. He was, you know, one of their most efficient players in Game 6 against the Warriors, which is more than we can say for some of the other superstars on our team. And maybe the Rockets system does crimp down on what Chris Paul can do because he doesn't have the ball nearly as much as he used to. James Harden's usage rate is still the highest in the league. So when Harden was originally recruiting Chris Paul, oh yeah, you know, I need another guy who can take the pressure, alleviate my ball handling responsibilities, another guy who can run the offense. James isn't giving the ball up. I know we're all surprised. But Paul still puts up decent numbers. Not great, but decent. But he gets paid like a megastar. And even the Knicks wouldn't take him. What did the Knicks win? 17 games last year? They didn't want him. They're still holding on to hope that they can sign Kevin Durant to a max deal. Achilles or no Achilles? Achilles be damned. The Rockets don't even have sweeteners to get someone to take the deal. For example, the Rockets can't throw in a draft pick. The Rockets don't have any draft picks. Draft is tonight. They got no picks. The draft picks that the Rockets would have in near future drafts, well, they're all going to be down the bottom of the draft. Those are not valuable picks. Those are, you know, commodities. They're not, like, really valuable. They're not lottery picks. They're back of the draft. They don't have any prime young talent on a rookie deal because, well, they never have draft picks. They get traded away. Sometimes they get traded away for Lou Williams. Sometimes they get traded away for Amon Shumpert. Maybe they wouldn't have had to have traded a first-round pick for Amon Shumpert if Daryl Morey hadn't decided, you know what? I know I'm the most analytical GM in the entire league. I know that my numbers are better than everybody's, but I'm going to throw all my numbers in the garbage can and set it on fire. I'm bringing in Carmelo Anthony and Michael Carter-Williams, two guys that don't fit my team at all. Then he had to give up assets to get rid of those guys. And he had no bench. So he had to give up more assets to get a bench, which is still one of the worst benches in the league. Must be Mike D'Antoni's fault. Isn't that how it goes? I mean, Daryl Morey is not accountable for anything, right? He's the mad king. The guy that we all used to sit there and go, man, look at Morey. He just keeps tinkering and making this team better. Now he keeps tinkering and making the team worse. And the idea that, you know, the head coach that you publicly say you love and he's a great coach and wouldn't want to have anybody else. And, hey, you know, we want Mike here for a long time, so we're going to offer him this Bozak one-year extension at terms that guys with half his resume are getting better deals than. That makes sense. You know, at some point, you keep changing all the parts. Well, you're not always going to get the same value. They're not always going to get the same fit. Right now, the Rockets, much as they are trying to deny it, the Rockets are team turmoil. The best thing about this to me is, you know, I know Fred and AJ talk about the gambling aspect. I don't do a lot of gambling aspect. I'm not big on gambling. But according to Bet Online, The odds on what team Chris Paul starts the season with. Obviously, the Rockets are the overwhelming favorite, 2-7. Take a wild guess who's number two. Aaron, you want to take a stab? Who do you think is number two on the list of what team Chris Paul will start the year with?
I want to say Lakers, but I know that can't be right.
It's the Lakers! Yes! Not only are the Lakers number one, number two, but tied for number two is the Clippers. I was like, wait a second, why would they take him back? They didn't want to pay him to begin with. They wanted him, but they didn't want to pay him this kind of money. Then they're both 7-2. Then the Knicks are 6-1. The Mavs are 8-1. The Nets are 12-1. Now, maybe this is selfish of me. I would love to see him get traded to the Mavs because I feel like that would screw the Mavs. And I'm all in favor of screwing everything Dallas that we can screw.
Except for the women.
Well,
some of them.
Some, yeah, you know.
Depends on which part of town they're living in.
Is it okay to, you know, do you prefer to get into the hoity-toity section of town or do you prefer to get into the grimy section of town? Pretty sure they got both. I don't want to discriminate. You know, good is good. Paul and the Rockets and Harden. Oh, and Capella and EG getting shopped all over the place. Does create a really interesting scenario since the Rockets are supposedly all in on trying to convince Jimmy Butler to work out a sign and trade. Well, who the hell are they going to trade? That and there is no petty like sports petty. Cops edition next.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patch Crane in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. You know, on Twitter, you know, a bunch of tweets just came in. Oh, you're coming in hot. If you've never listened to Late Hits, you think I'm coming in hot. If you have listened to Late Hits, well, it sounds just like every other show that I do. This is not the show
where we sit around and play Pinochle, where we worry about what kind of onion dip we have for the potato chips.
Yeah, no, that's not that kind of show. Not that kind of show, not ever going to be. Now, we'll get to the Rockets and Jimmy Butler in just a minute, but you'll recall when the Raptors won the NBA title at Oracle, there was an issue. There was an issue where local law enforcement acting as security at Oracle Arena alleged that Raptors president and GM Masai Ujiri assaulted an officer. And I said to you at that time, I said, you know, there's no petty like sports petty. If you are there on security detail and you are assigned to the section that Masai Ujiri is going to be in, all right, you were prepped before the game. These are the VIPs who are in your section. These are the people that need security. You need to be aware of them. You need to watch their surroundings. You need to keep them safe at all costs. The fact that those guys would pretend, oh, we don't know who Masai Ujiri is. We're not going to let him on the court after his team just won the NBA Finals is straight up bullpoop. They knew exactly who he was. They were just being petty. Hiding behind their badges. And let's take a wild guess as to why Masai Ujiri would be singled out as opposed to, let's say, a different executive who might be of a paler persuasion. But it was pretty obvious right away. This was all about pettiness. They were deliberately screwing with them because they were pissed off. Their team lost. And the other team was going to go celebrate on their turf. So some members of the Alameda County Sheriff's Office decided, hey, you know what? Let's mess with Masai Ujiri. And, you know, some funny things happened along the way. It turns out that the body cams, you know, they all wear body cams that, you know, everything can be proven. The body cam just happened to go out. It stopped working. The moment right before the officer says Masai Ujiri hit him and gave him a concussion. More lies. It just so happened. It magically switched off just the second before Ujiri reportedly assaulted the officer. Now, isn't that mighty convenient? So it might get a little worse. Apparently, this particular police department may have some Josh Hader type issues. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, when you use Twitter improperly and you might retweet racist stuff and like it on Twitter, like white supremacist stuff. Yeah, they got that issue too. You know, I always say there's no petty like sports petty. But when you're using your petty and hiding behind the badge because your team lost, you should probably be fired. And I kind of hope they try to push charges through. And I hope Masai Ujiri sues Alameda County. And I hope he wins a massive judgment. Because remember, it's California. And you're not going to get a whole lot of super conservative judges in California. The whole thing is really disgraceful. And it never should have happened. But the idea they didn't know who he was is a straight up lie. You know damn well every one of them got prepped exactly who he was, where he was sitting, and to make sure they were aware of his surroundings before that game ever started. So shame on them. I hope every one of those cops get what they deserve. There are so many great cops who put their lives on the line for their communities every day, who work hard, who uphold the law, who are good, honest, hardworking men and women. To have schmuckos like this dirty up their name, they deserve better. The good cops deserve better than these schmucks ruining their stuff. Now, let's get back to the Rockets. They are all in for Jimmy Butler, right? That's every report. Oh, we're all in, Jimmy Butler. Native son's coming home. We're going to pay him everything that Philly can pay him, and then we'll work out a sign and trade, and we're going to have our three stars, and everybody's going to be happy. All right, let's think about this logically here for a second, because I want to be happy. I want the Rockets to get their third star. I want the Rockets to win a championship because, you know what? All those things are good for business. All those things are good for business. Who doesn't want to celebrate the Rockets winning a title? If you're in Houston, you want it. Okay, but there's a couple of little catches and caveats that we kind of have to discuss, which is, you know, number one, the Rockets are way over the cap. Just their starting five. Capella, Paul, Harden, PJ, EG. just those guys, those five contracts, they're already over the $109 million cap. Like $115 million. That means all the money the Rockets have coming in, well, the Rockets have to ship going out. They got to make the money match. Now, if Jimmy Butler gets a max deal, and let's say he's getting $32 million year one, or $35 million year one, how do the Rockets make $35 million go back? Well, it means buy Clint Capella. It means buy Eric Gordon. And let's see, do they have enough for 3, 7, 8.5, 10? They maybe could package up everybody else on the roster not named PJ Tucker. Now, Nene's got a player option for a little under $4 million. Gary Clark's, you know, minimum contract is guaranteed. Everybody else is a non-guaranteed deal. Deontay Davis, Chris Chiozza, Michael Frazier, Isaiah Hartenstein, none of those guys have guaranteed deals. They have to give up at least two of their current starting five guys, which they don't have on the roster. They can't replace from guys on the roster, right? So if they trade Capella, they don't have a center. I mean, Nene's talking about retirement. If they trade Eric Gordon, you're losing your best spot-up three-point shooter, which you don't have a guy to replace on the roster. So you're giving up 40% of your starting lineup. You're losing guys who played 30 to 38 minutes a night for your team and who are extremely important to what they do. Instrumental. You bring Butler in. You've got Paul on a max, Hard on a max, Butler on a max. You're down to minimum contracts, a biannual. I mean, they're using the mid-level on PJ. There's not a lot of money out there to... There's not a lot of money that they have to go and fill out the rest of the roster. And as good as Butler is, if you have to lose Capella and Gordon, is the starting lineup better? Or who are you replacing those guys with? Oh, and then there's this one other really important part. The Sixers actually have to want to take those guys back. And who knows if they really want to. So while I would love to tell you, oh, it's going to work. They're going to get Butler. They're going to be badasses. They're going to take it all. Yeah, there's a boatload of obstacles in the way of that deal just coming to fruition. Then you've got to take a team that had a very thin roster, very top-heavy roster, and reconstruct it with a bunch of minimum salary guys. It might not be anywhere near as simple as some of the reports are trying to make it out to be. That's important to know. All right, NBA draft is tonight. With the Rockets in trouble, we got the Lakers with all kinds of stupidity going on. Our buddy Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports covers the NBA. He joins us next on the Blitz. Are we gonna lose? Is it gonna last? Worry about the future, worry about the past. Filter out the noise.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patch Creighton in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. Joining us right now on the HRMP guest line, covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports and Real GM. It's our buddy Keith Smith. What's going on, Keith?
Hey, how are you? Are we breaking down the Rays moving half their games to Montreal? Is that what we're going to do?
Oh, absolutely. Dude, I'm ready to go get my Expos hat on right now.
There it is.
Are they going to move back to the NL East? I mean, how are we going to work that?
I don't know. Maybe we just make it up. My suggestion was they split their home game by threes and play a third of them in Mexico City and just become the North American Rays.
Ah, can we get a Hiram Bithorn Stadium?
Yeah, true.
Hey, Keith, before we get into the draft tonight, let's start with our local team, the Rockets, who there's a lot of reports about discontent with this team. They've come from Yahoo. They've come from ESPN. They've come from The Athletic. They've been, it's triangulated at this point. How much nonsense or discontent do you think is really going on with the Rockets? And, are they basically shopping everybody not named James Harden?
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to it. This is where it's, your ears should perk up when you go with the whole where there's smoke, there's generally fire approach with this. But when you start, if it's one person or one outlet, maybe you can have a little, all right, I'm not sure where they're hearing that from. But when it's multiple places are reporting similar-ish things or things that are close enough or filling in with other details, it's probably something going on. I think the reality is they didn't look like a very happy team for large chunks of last season. And I think you have a point where with very high expectations, there were some struggles that they just didn't quite get there. And I think that was frustrating for a lot of people involved. And then that's led to some of these bad feelings both ways. And now it's really up to Daryl Morey to sort this out. But the challenge is, with limited resources to figure that out, it's going to be hard for them to do much different than what they really are at this point.
Is it reasonable to expect there's tension between Harden and Paul? When they were, recruiting Chris Paul, because, there was a time when Chris Paul was eligible for 5 years and $201 million max deal with the Clippers. And, they were a little hesitant. They didn't want to pay $45 million to Chris Paul at age 36. So they never formally offered him the deal. So he opted in so that he could get traded to the Rockets. And then the Rockets could give him a max deal. And, that whole change in the age 36 to the age 38 rule. Gee, I wonder who runs the Players Association, Chris Paul. I'm okay with that. I'm always okay with guys getting paid. But when this whole thing went down with Chris Paul going to the Rockets, James Harden talking about, hey, I really need somebody who can help alleviate the burden for all the ball handling that I do, for running the offense. We need another guy who can help me with this. But Harden's usage rates are higher than ever, and he's handling the ball more than ever. Is it fair to say Paul's frustrated because, what was originally discussed is not what he's got?
Yeah, I think that is fair. I think if you're Chris Paul, here's the challenge. When you're a historically great player, which Chris Paul is, let's not let recent things slander, what he's done throughout the course of his career. One of the hardest things is adjusting your expectations for yourself and where you are as a player. And we often see a lot of guys never do, and then they end up out of the league entirely. And for a guy like Chris Paul to come in to Houston, and really everything went right last season for them until the playoffs when they had some injuries, which really hurt them. But everything went well. They kind of rampaged through the league in the regular season. First year is the honeymoon year. Everybody can kind of make it work. And when you're winning a bunch of games and you feel like you can make the finals and knock off the Warriors and all those things, everyone's willing to sacrifice. Last year, things weren't quite as rosy. So that's when everybody becomes less willing to sacrifice and less willing to do those things. And that's really tough. And a lot of that falls on Chris Paul. Now, Chris Paul's used to being the point guard, running the show and having the ball all the time. And in Houston, that's just not going to be. James Harden's the MVP candidate for a reason, and he's going to be the guy with the ball. So that makes it really hard on them to, figure out how to play together, and a lot of that falls on Mike D'Antoni. But they've kind of built this system where it's Harden runs it, and it's free-flowing, and you just kind of, run what's there in front of you instead of running a lot of plays. And I don't know that Chris Paul's ever going to be happy with that type of situation.
Keith Smith covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports and Real GM with us on the HRMP guest line. Keith, is Rob Pelinka a massive dumbass?
Yeah, boy, that's putting it strongly. I sense that they aren't real smart about the way they handled all the negotiations with the Pelicans. All indications are they blew both the timing as well as the impact of the trade bonus and didn't fully understand. One thing that's important to know with the Lakers, front office still in a little bit of flux there after all their circus machinations of the end of the season and throughout the last couple months. Then you also have the fact that with the Lakers, it's a very small front office. It's very tight. It's really Pelinka and very few others that are in there that can even throw a hand up to say, hey, wait a minute, we need to think about this or include that or do these different things. So that makes it really hard when it's just one guy running the show and going out and getting it done. You're going to run into problems like this. So that's why most teams, they have people in the room who can tell the GM, stop, wait a minute, we have to talk about this because here's X, Y, and Z. And it sounds like the Lakers weren't really in that position.
Is somebody going to get a good deal on Mo Wagner? I mean, can he play? We didn't see much of him. Do you think he can play?
Yeah, maybe he's got an NBA skill that he's a four who can step out and shoot it. Maybe could play some small ball five for the right team. So, it's definitely worth somebody grabbing him on the cheap. You know, throw the Lakers a second round pick, allow them to clear a little bit of cap space, then they can fill out the roster with a pick, and you really take a flyer on Wagner because, you know, maybe he is a guy who blossoms eventually. We've seen sometimes those bigs whose main skill is shooting take a year or two to get there, and that maybe is the case with him. So I would take a flyer on him for sure.
All right, Keith, the draft is tonight. Number one will be Zion. Number two will be Ja. Number three will be RJ. At number four, the Pelicans will select or trade?
I think they'll select, and I think it'll be Darius Garland, the guard out of Vanderbilt. I think they are looking for a way to balance everything around. They're going to be very, Zion-centric here going forward, and I think they've got a great passer in Lonzo Ball. They've got Drew Holiday, but Holiday's a little bit older, so it wouldn't be a bad idea to bring in Garland. And I think when you have Ball and Holiday, Garland can come in with relatively little pressure because you're going to bring him in off the bench. That'll be your three-guard rotation, along with Josh Hart getting some minutes there when he's not, playing up maybe at the three a little bit. And then Garland can kind of just do his thing. He can ease in and transition to the NBA with the help of Ball and Holiday quite a bit. So I think that's the fit for the Pelicans, assuming they keep the pick, and I think they will.
Keith, we've seen the Warriors buy a second-round pick. We've just seen the Pacers buy a second-round pick and a player. Do you expect more teams, maybe the Rockets, since they don't have any picks, to buy second-round picks? And as we get, closer and then into the draft, do you think the price for those picks goes up?
Yeah, I do think teams are going to be really active, whether they're paying the price in just straight cash, which generally, it used to be for a long time was about $1 million. Now it ranges between $1.5 million and $1 million to land a second-round pick. Sometimes teams are willing to even go a little higher than that if they love a guy and he's available. You're going to see that. And then some teams may buy a second-round pick by, throwing a second-round pick in the future or a player like what we just saw with the Pacers and the Suns for T.J. Warren and a pick to go there. There's going to be a lot of moving of salary. Teams are trying to position themselves to get in a spot where they have as much cap space as possible. One of the ways to do that is by trading a second-round pick. Then you've also got the fact that, like the Atlanta Hawks had multiple second-rounders. They have no interest in bringing that many rookies in all at once, so they started selling them off. You got Philadelphia has a bunch of second-round picks. They could sell off a couple of them and move, and that's how you're going to see, maybe a team like the Lakers, who has an awful lot of roster spots to fill once they complete the Davis trade, start picking up second-rounders to do it.
Do you think there's a big deal to be made tonight?
I'm not sure because we already saw the Davis deal go down. We saw a Mike Conley deal go down. That's two pretty huge trades already to happen pre-draft. I'd be a little surprised if we see anything that big, but I do think we're going to see a lot of movement. Because this draft is considered to be relatively flat, most teams are now saying from 5 back, somewhere from 5 to 7 back, and as far back as 20 to 25. What that can do is teams sometimes will trade back because they believe, well, my guy will still be there a few picks from now. Or sometimes teams say, hey, our guy's there. Let's go up and get him. Let's not mess around. And that creates a lot of interest. And again, there's teams in the first round, Atlanta, Boston, now Memphis, that have multiple first-round picks that are going to be able to move up and down the board.
Keith, do you buy this idea about a delayed sign and trade with Kevin Durant and possibly the Knicks?
I do. I think there's something to it. So one of the things that's important to note is the sign and trade rules under the current CBA. You can only get as much from a team if you do a direct sign and trade, which is, you know, immediately executed, as you could by signing with that team outright. So because of that, Kevin Durant, there's no financial benefit to signing with the Knicks. Now, we all know Kevin Durant's not going to play probably all of next season. If he gets back, it'll be just, you know, very tail end of the year, if at all. So what you could see with the Knicks and the Warriors here is, well, he wants to go to the Knicks, but the Warriors want to take care of him as well for all that he did for them. So they sign him. He sits on their bench for a few months until he becomes tradable, and then they work the trade with the Knicks down the line later. That's something you definitely could see. It's rare. I can't think of an occasion where that's happened prearranged like that, but it's something we could definitely see here because of the uniqueness of this situation with Kevin Durant's injury.
Keith, do the Rockets have a realistic shot at a sign-and-trade for Jimmy Butler, considering what their assets are?
Yeah, I don't see it. I've seen those reports. I've seen the picking up of the buzz that that's what they want to do. Daryl Morey's really, really good, and he's one of the more creative general managers out there. But I just don't see it unless they can maybe get a third team involved to take on Clint Capella, because the 76ers have no reason to do that, and all with Joel Embiid there. And I know a lot of people, well, he'd be a great backup, but you're not in a position to be paying two centers, you know, in excess of, you know, $40-50 million going forward. So that it's going to have to involve somebody else, and because of that reason, I just don't see it. It's just so complicated to get there.
Will Kawhi stay king of the North, or is he going to come south for the Iron Throne?
I think there's a chance he's moving to the Clippers. I think Kawhi Leonard is a different kind of guy. When you look at him, I go all the way back to, I know there were issues with his injury and the way it was handled, and that created bad feelings, but he willingly asked out of the NBA's preeminent winning machine in San Antonio. He said, I want to leave. He went to Toronto and he delivered. He got them a championship, and I think he could leave with a clear conscience of, hey, we won. You know, be happy with that. Now I'm going to where I want to be. And I really think Raptors fans would be fine. I think they would say, hey, we did it. You got us over the hump. We've got our title. We'll live off that for a little bit and go here. So I do think that there's a good chance he's going to go to the Clippers.
Keith Smith, Yahoo Sports, covers the NBA, also at Real GM, with us on the HRMP guest line. Keith, the last one for you here before we let you go. Who is your, I guess, your sleeper pick in the draft tonight? Who's a guy to watch that might be shooting up draft boards?
Yeah, a guy I really like is Brandon Clark out of Gonzaga. I think he is a kid who can come in and help a team right away because he can defend at an NBA level already. He can defend multiple positions. He's got good versatility, good high IQ player, and he's a guy who's got a developing offensive game. So I think he's going to come in and really help teams and be somebody who can come on the floor and go right away. NBA teams, a lot of times they'll shy away from, you know, older players. He's a little bit old for his class in school, but, you know, he's in the draft now, and I think if you're a team that is close, you might look at a guy like Clark and say, all right, this guy could, you know, really maybe step right in and help us and push us over the top, and I think that's what you're going to see with him, and I think he's going to be a really good player in year one.
Keith Smith, Yahoo Sports, Real GM, with us on the HRMP listener line. Follow him on Twitter at KeithSmithNBA. Always appreciate your time, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
All right. Keith Smith, Yahoo Sports. And before we hit the break, let's talk a little bit of travel. You know, most of us do a little travel throughout the year. Well, how are you booking your hotel rooms? Well, let me give you a suggestion. It's called besthotelrates.com. Besthotelrates.com has negotiated special rates with over 600,000 hotels worldwide. They have extended these discounts now to you. All you have to do, go to besthotelrates.com, plug in your destination, the dates of travel, voila! You're looking at discounted rates for many of the hotels that you could be paying more for somewhere else. Save your money, book your hotel rooms through besthotelrates.com. Top-notch customer service backs up your reservation so your stay is safe and secure. Besthotelrates.com. Start planning your next trip today. It's all in the name, besthotelrates.com. Hotelrates.com. Bad for a weekend. So it's gonna be forever.
Or it's gonna go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Patch Creighton in for Fred and A.J. on The Blitz. Just heard us talking with our buddy Keith Smith from Yahoo Sports, breaking down some stuff with the Rockets. He's not feeling the Rockets pulling the sign and trade for Jimmy Butler either there, as you noticed. It's going to be really hard for them. They don't have the young, cheap, good players that teams covet in these types of deals. You know, if you're talking about, hey, we got to take back all this money, because the Rockets have to give it back. Their cap situation is such they have to ship out every dollar that comes in. So that means the Sixers have to be willing to eat up those contracts on their cap. The Sixers have cash. They're like $56 million. Now, they got a few guys they got to re-sign. You know, Harris is a free agent. J.J. Redick's a free agent. A few guys who are free agents. But they got $56 million. And do they want to tie up 35 of that? Or maybe 28 of it in a bunch of non-guaranteed deals that they could waive? And Capella and Gordon. Now, I could see you being able to, Gordon would be a great fit because, you know, that's the three-point shooter. You know, they're one of their issues has been they don't have very good three-point shooting. It's J.J. Redick and, well, it's J.J. Redick. So, Gordon, if they bring back Redick, Gordon gives them a second guy or essentially fills that role. Maybe not as great a sharpshooter as Redick, but more versatile, better defender, can handle the ball, can run the offense, can do some things JJ can't do. You could play Capella and Embiid together. I'll tell you what, man, you try driving on them. Capella's a rim protector. Embiid's a rim protector. Both of those guys can run the floor. You know, one of the things that makes Capella such a good fit with the Rockets is he can run the floor. And he's not one of those lumbering centers that can't get up and down. He's not Brook Lopez. You put that guy on, I say, yeah, you know, these are guys who could fit, but they want them. Because, again, there's no draft picks and there's no young guys that they're going to be super excited about. How much of their cap do they really want tied up in guys the Rockets are willing to give them? We're going to see. I think it's going to be really hard. You know, every draft pick they give up is going to be, you know, a future draft pick. You remember when they were had leaked out that idea of, we'll give up four number ones for Jimmy Butler to Minnesota. Well, plus a bunch of garbage contracts that you have to take with those four number ones. Yeah, how hard are the Rockets willing to go if they're going to convince Philly to take on Gordon, Capella, and a bunch of nondescript players that can fill up the salary trade space but have non-guaranteed deals so they can waive them? How many draft picks does it take for Philly to bite? Two? Three? Because remember, once you exceed two draft picks, you're getting outside the length of this team. Paul's under contract for 3 years. Two draft picks is going to be three seasons out. So if you go more than two draft picks, you're talking about paying draft picks when the window of this team is gone. And that's a really steep price to pay. It's going to be hard. Love to see it happen. I don't know that they can, you know, convince people in Philadelphia to drink enough, maybe smoke up enough. You know, if you eat like four edibles, is that the same as like being just completely baked out of your face? I mean, I've only had one once. Man, I was out cold for 3 hours. I slept the whole flight back from Vegas. It was glorious. I mean, I slept to the point where I didn't even hear people around me talk. You know, like when you sleep on the plane, you roll, you turn, you shift, you know, somebody bumps into you. Man, I didn't hear or feel anything. Best 3 hours of sleep I've gotten in like 10 years. We are 1 hour into the Blitz. Man, the Astros got a big hole in their lineup. Tell you about it next.
One time for my LA sisters. One time for my LA, LA. Lame, you can't tell the difference. One time for it, who knows?
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.